past 2 p.m. My buddy and manager of the Bud Light team, Mike Stewart, is here with us. Mike's been on the show a couple times before, and Mike is a good guy, and he does a lot of good guy work, and very philanthropic and very community-minded, and he's going to talk about the boy state and girl state, and I'm not familiar, so this is good. Tell us all about it.
Well, the programs are actually going to take place beginning Saturday at Lindenwood University. The Boy State program started in Missouri in 1938.
Wow.
This is our 86th session.
Wow.
Girl State started in 1940. This is our 84th session. We are a leadership citizenship training program. We focus on volunteerism, public service, community service. And it's framed around building an entire state government in a single week. We'll have 1,700 high school juniors going into their senior year, come out and participate. We have this great list of speakers that will be there all week. And we have a number of different opportunities. We're going to grant $150,000 worth of scholarships to kids after this week. We've got schools of instruction that we hope are career oriented for kids, so they kind of help them navigate a little bit on what they want to do. But the program has been around for a long time. It actually started in Illinois in 1934.
Mm-hmm.
So we were the second wave of programs. And it was really kind of back then it was to answer the indoctrination. No, I can't say that.
That's okay. I don't know what you mean.
Indoctrination of the youth in Germany before World War.
Oh.
So the American Legion is our founding organization sponsor. And, you know, they felt it was necessary to answer that kind of thing by training our youth to be supportive of democracy.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah. So I know that there are a lot of Boy State and Girl State alum out there. I hope they reach out, and we always want to connect with our alumni. We have a list of former participants that looks our who's who is a true who's who.
Yeah,
a lot of great people have been through our program. We're gonna take those 1,700 and create two state governments. The Boy State program operates separately from the Girl State program. I'm authorized to speak on behalf of Boy State, and I speak generally on behalf of Girl State because I don't want them to get mad at me.
Why are they segregated?
Well, they're segregated because it's the organizations are separate. The American Legion Auxiliary runs the Girl State program, and the Boy State program is run by the American Legion itself. Mm-hmm. So they've because the two sponsoring organizations are separate, and they kind of wanted to keep it separate.
You know, I think it's the kind of thing you say when you're an old man, right? But I think that one of the biggest problems with our country is that we have stopped teaching civics. And I don't care whether you take civics classes and educate yourself about government and you grow up to be a flaming liberal or a flaming MAGA. Just, it's going to help you to know what's real. It's going to help you to know how things work. It's going to arm you to be able to just be a citizen in the United States. And I remember taking civics in 7th, 8th grade, hating it at first. And then when I opened my mind, I'm like, I like this.
It's so important. We feel like this work is more important than it's ever been right now, given the climate we're in now. We operate on four tenets. One is we respect all viewpoints. We believe that diverse opinions make us stronger, not weaker. We act with integrity, meaning that we do what we say, we mean what we say, and we do the right thing even when it doesn't help us,
yeah.
That it's in conflict with our interests. We believe that you should engage in civics. You should be involved in public service. You should be out there working to better your community. We believe in that. And we also believe in champion democracy.
Yeah.
We believe it's the best ideal government out there. It's not perfect. It's still an experiment, but we should work every day to perfect it.
And you know what? It's like anything else. You're never too old to start. I consider myself an engaged, patriotic guy who's pretty well informed, and yet I've never voted in a primary. I didn't realize how important they were until the last few years. And then guys like Hancock and Kelly said, here's why we're in this predicament, because the primaries are the election. It's all over.
In most places, yeah.
In most places.
Because you know which party's going to win.
Yeah.
In most places in the country, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest change, right? I mean, that's in the past, it was not always sure what the outcome would be. We insist that our citizens, we call them citizens, the students that participate, we insist that they vote. It's a pure democracy. We are non-denominational. We operate a two-party system, but it's called the Federalist and the Nationalist.
Hmm.
They build their own party platform. They create their own. Everything they do is what they've decided to do and how they will create their government. And so between everybody that participates, we get all their viewpoints out. They all talk about what they believe in, and it's refreshing. I've been doing this for a very, very long time, and every year I'm encouraged because I see these young people just, you know, they want to serve, they've got great ideas, and they're just really bright future leaders.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's refreshing.
Rach?
Yeah, just from, I mean, everything you're saying from the standpoint of like building good citizens, this is so incredible. But Mike, also talk about the fact that this has just got to be life-changing for some of these kids. A program like this, just having access to something like this, yeah. It's probably putting some kids on a completely different path than they maybe would have gone down prior.
100%. I'm sitting here as an example. When I was just a young whippersnapper way back when, I found this to be life-changing because it taught me I could compete. We have, I believe it's 360 high schools participating from the state of Missouri. And you learn, my roommates at Boys State many, many years ago were from Cuba and Versailles. I thought they were from France and South of Florida. I didn't know. I was a kid from St. Louis County, right?
Yeah.
And I learned so much from them. And we purposely mix kids up from different parts of the state. And our exit polling, if you will, is 99% positive.
Hmm.
99% positive. And I think if you go to our website, moboysstate.org, and you look in the who's who, look in our alumni section, you will see an amazing list of people. And they all are listed because they feel like Boys State and Girls State had something to do with where they are today. Hmm.
Go ahead, Rach.
Well, you also have an incredible list of keynote speakers that you've had come through. What do people typically say when they've come and spoken at this event? What kind of feedback do you get from the speakers?
The speakers have become one of our most favorite parts of the program for our participants because one thing that we do that we insist on is every speaker that comes has to take questions from the kids.
Mm.
Hmm.
Every speaker that comes has the opportunity.
The way real government should
answer,
be.
The way real government should be, yes. And very, very seldom do speakers refuse to take questions because we've had some really high level folks come and speak, and in fact, one of the speakers, John Brennan, who was the former CIA director, said, "Your questions are better than Congress."
I don't doubt that at all. I mean, I really don't.
It's true. And the kids are like so smart. I mean, it's just really, it's refreshing when you see this happen. You see kids formulating their opinions and they're building, you know, their arguments over why their viewpoints were what they are, right? And every year we have almost full participation from the constitutional officers of the state of Missouri, and they all come and they're always impressed by our group. So it is a transformational experience. We tell everybody before they come, be ready to work and understand that when you're done, you're going to be a better person. And we think we hit that mark.
Dude, these speakers, you have Senator Joe Manchin.
Yes.
You have Catherine Hanaway, Lieutenant Governor Wassinger, Treasurer Vivek Malik, Brady Cook, Cody Schrader, Frank Cusimano. Well, Frank's a bit of a miss, but you know, you can't be 100% right.
I there's not a lot of people available. So, no, I just got a text from Frank today. Frank's excited about it.
I bet.
He's really into it, and we love having Frank. Martin Luther King III is speaking during this week. Senator Joe Manchin is one of the most intriguing people, I think, because of how he governed when he was in the Senate. I think he's going to be a great speaker. We've had so many good ones in the past few years that we're really excited about, you know, our list of speakers. Our director, Jack Laskowitz, the Boys State program, McKay Mickens of the Girls State program, worked tirelessly to get all these folks to come and talk to the kids, and it's really beneficial.
I think it's so valuable too, because like Mike Tyson said, everyone has a plan to get punched in the mouth. Everyone thinks they know what they believe until they have to put it into practice.
Absolutely.
Even if it's over a weekend with a pretend government, but when you have to actually make those tough decisions and not just spout off in social media, that's a lesson in and of itself.
So much so. We encourage debate. We have the governor candidates every year debate each other in front of our Boys State Press, and they ask questions. It's a true laboratory. We have a fully operational court system. Both programs operate court systems. So you have to pass a bar exam to be an attorney to work in the court system. We elect judges on the municipal level, and then we appoint. We stick to the Missouri plan. So our Supreme Court at Missouri Boys State and Girls State are appointed by the governor. So it's a true laboratory in how the system works in Missouri.
What can we do? What can my listeners do?
Well, we are 100%, 99.9% a volunteer organization. Mm-hmm. We have two paid staffers that work as administrators. And we have to raise the money every year to put this program on. So anybody who's interested can go to our website, moboysstate.org or missourigirlsstate.org, and you can make a donation. We've created a foundation that supports the program, the Missouri Boys State Memorial Trust. If you want to do a legacy style gift, that's where you would go. If you want to support kids in your area, we rely on more corporate support and individual support than we ever have. The American Legion, the Optimist Clubs, the Rotaries have always been great sponsors, but they're starting to dwindle a little. The American Legion as well. So we're hustling every year to raise a lot of money. And if you would like to help us, we think this is a great place to support keeping our democracy solvent.
I love it. I love it. We'll put all the information up on our social media so you guys can get involved, volunteer if you want to, sponsor your kids to go, put some money in there. Good to see you, Skip.
Thank you.
All right,
appreciate
buddy.
You having me. So really appreciate it.
You bet.
Thank you.
DGS 222. I gotta tell you something. I'm gonna get a little smoltzy here. But programs like this, guys like Stu, keep me in the game, right? Because let's face it, like the modern world, especially social media, is like taking a bath in a sewer. I mean, you get out and you're like, I'm even stinkier than I was before. And it really makes you feel like, can't win, don't try, the world's gone to hell in a handbasket, and maybe the bad guys have the advantage right now, but it's good to know there are still legit good guys.
Well, yeah, and it sounds like this is exactly what these kind of programs do, is they broaden your horizons.
Yeah.
The things that you see and take in every day are not all of the things going
Amen.
On. And what this does is it diversifies things and it gives kids different pathways and different options and different ways of considering things. And I mean, it just sounds absolutely incredible. We did put the link to both organizations up on the DGS stream, MissouriGirlsState.org and MoBoysState.org, if you would like to learn more.
Okay. All right.
Very cool.
We also have a baseball question for you.
Oh.
But it's a fantasy question. How
fantasy
you feel about
baseball
those?
Or?
No. Fantasy, like what if Lou Brock was
what
been
if,
a bird?
Yeah, those are fine.
If you could put together an all-time all-star team, it can be Stan Musial at his peak, okay? The best 9 players ever to play. And they competed in 2026 as a team. What's the most wins an all-time team like that you think could get?
So they're not training like new players. They're not. They're just being time. They're just coming through a a portal in time and showing up.
No, I'm fine if it were a 2026 level Stan Musial. I'm okay with
because
that.
Because if you're just talking about the greats, they'd be great. You know, the thing that separates the greatest from everyone else isn't training techniques or all that. It's their desire to be great. Like if you were to take Shohei Ohtani and plop him into any previous generation, he'd be the best player there is. Just like if you plopped Babe Ruth in now with today's training techniques and today's knowledge, he'd be as great as he was back then. He'd be as great as, you know, the best guys now. I think that greatness is about dedication. It's about, sure, physical ability, right? But, you know, it's honed now more than it would have been 100 years ago, but it's still physical ability. It's there. It's just molded differently and more specifically now.
Would you expect him to win 120 games?
I mean, no. If it's an all-star team, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we have, you know, if we look at the Dodgers as an example, we think of them as an all-star team, but it's not an all-Hall of Fame team.
Yeah.
You know, they got 5 Hall of Famers on their team. They don't have 20 or 25 of them. So, no, I mean, like, yeah, that team, if it's all assumed that you're being trained in the modern techniques and you have the same abilities that you had in your prime, yeah, they would be
Joel says
dominant.
137 wins.
I don't know what number it would be, but it would be more than the current record, which is 116. Because there's never been a team that had, you know, 9 Hall of Fame players on it, right? There's never been that.
It would be cool if, like, AI, for example, could tell us, like, yeah, you bring Babe Ruth to 2026 and put him through the knowledge that we have now, like you were saying, Wheels.
Yeah.
If we could get an accurate picture of what that would actually be like, that would be very, very cool to see.
Well, and the guy lived on beer, sex, and hot dogs. Yeah. So, you know.
Well, and the game, there's everything
about.
Doesn't
sound like a bad way to live.
No. Just everything about this. I mean, all sports. I mean, we're talking baseball, but this is true for every sport. Everything about the sport is different than it was.
Mm-hmm.
They were all playing day games back then. There were no night games. They didn't have lights. They didn't travel as much because every team was on the East Coast or in the Central, you know, from the Mississippi over to the East Side. So travel was shorter and simpler. You didn't play as many teams or as many games, right? I mean, we've talked about this a million times where a guy like Babe Ruth might see, I don't know, 75, 80 pitchers a year. Guys now see 300 pitchers a year. It's just everything's different. Training, equipment, velocity. I mean, baseballs. They use a new baseball every time one gets dirty now.
Yeah,
if a ball hits the dirt, it's out of the game. They used to play with the same ball the whole game back in the day.
Yeah, till that one guy got hit in the head.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because the ball was all muddy.
Right, right. It would have pine tar on it, dirt, you know, grass stains, you name it.
Yeah. Before we do our Lombardo live, I have to show everyone my new Bud Light number 20.
That's a new hoodie, man. That's pretty sweet.
Very sharp.
That sweet.
Really nice.
Was that your number?
Yeah.
You were 20?
Wear the hell out of this.
They're going to have to retire 20.
I'm the only guy with 1,000 batting average.
You are the all-time Bud Light leader in batting average.
Yeah, I've heard nothing.
So. I mean, maybe there could be a guy or two tied with you, but obviously nobody better.
There could be, but there's not. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Thursday to you. Ricky Horton joins us from Kansas City. Hey, Rick.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm actually not only joining you from Kansas City, but from the wonderful broadcast booth here at Kauffman Stadium. This is really a pretty cool stadium with a great view.
Yeah, Nick and I, I'm embarrassed to say, Rick, you were talking when we played golf earlier this week. You know, how your daughter's on a pilgrimage to go to as many big league stadiums as possible. You've been in 59 big league stadiums.
Yes,
I'm embarrassed to say I've only been at Busch and Wrigley, and Wrigley was my first time last year. I need to go see KC, especially since they're going to have a new stadium.
Yeah.
What's the vibe like at KC?
It really is very much like you'd expect it to be in a Midwest town. Honestly, it's like St. Louis, and they love their Royals, and it's very kind of homey place to be. I would say you feel really close to the field, no matter where you sit in this ballpark, and it's got kind of some unique. You know, it's got the crown in center field. It's got a kind of a unique look to it. The fountains, which of course says Kansas City too. So just all kinds of really nice things to look at, and you know they've got a good young team. They're not playing as great as that you'd expect them to play, but they'll get there.
And Rick, out on the course, we were talking about how much variation there is in the broadcast booths, and that you guys have your favorites, your least favorites. But we can brag a little bit that our broadcast booth, KMOX at Busch Stadium, is one of, if not the best in the entire league.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it gets a A star plus plus. Everybody that comes there says the same thing, and it gives us a chance to entertain folks from other teams. We like that. We get to talk about our teams to each other and learn some things to help the broadcast be better. And you know, the TV guys come over. We talk a whole bunch with them. We connect really well with them, and I just think it's a great place to bring some sponsors into. We do that from time to time. It really is huge compared to a place like, say, Wrigley. And of course, Wrigley's been around since forever, and so you can't really make it any bigger than it is, but you know, the booth in St. Louis is ridiculously good.
So I'm gonna let Wheels handle the X's and O's as usual, but I have a Dave question for you. You know, we're a third-ish through the season, and Rach and I went to the game yesterday and sweated our asses off, and it was so hot, and we're just sitting there eating hot dogs. To be a professional player and to play 162, you know, football guys prepare in their way, soccer guys prepare in their way. What is it like to prepare for a 162-game season, and what is it like to get through it maybe at this stage?
Well, you know, I think what you need to have to be able to get through it, you have to have the perseverant gene. I actually got that from my mom. My mom is very much like that, and she could kind of withstand anything. She could just kind of, you know, keep working and keep going and keep going and keep going. And you have to do that in baseball because, you know, you got another game. And you got the disappointment of what just happened. Okay, you lose to the Padres, which, by the way, the Cardinals winning 2 out of 3 against the Padres. It's weird that we're actually at a point where we're disappointed that we didn't win the last game. It's like, wait a minute, these are the Padres, and their payroll's, you know, 5 times ours. I mean, so for us to be able to get to that point is really cool. But I think perseverance part of it, and by hey, Dave, I hate to tell you, but by the time we get home and we play that game on Saturday during the next homestand, which is coming up next Saturday, that will be the halfway point of the season. So we're already at that, and the Cardinals still continue to be competitive. So that's been fun.
It's going to be a really interesting month, Ricky. You know, this is similar to where the team was record-wise on this date last year. Very similar, but right around the 7-8 games over 500. And we know it didn't trend well, but I don't know. I can't put my finger on exactly what it is. I have ideas. I'm curious what yours are as to why this feels different. And maybe it's just the expectations were lower, so it feels better. But I don't get the feeling. I don't have the same concerns now that I had a year ago about the rest of the year.
Well, and I think I agree with you on that. And it is kind of odd, though, because you look back and you say, why were we still so pessimistic and why were fans so mad about where we were going? And, you know, I do feel like the vision has gotten much clearer and everybody's not only seeing what they're doing now, but you're realizing that these guys are going to be the same guys that we see next year. I mean, for the most part. Right. So I think there's something about that, too. And you've got a kind of a patchwork team put together to kind of try to keep things going, and you know that those guys maybe are only short-term solutions. It just doesn't feel the same as, okay, grow with us. Chip Carey loves to say that phrase, come and grow with us, because I think that's what's happening. These guys are growing up before our eyes. The Ivan Herreras, Mason Wynn, J.J. Weatherholt now, and you know they're going to be here next year. I mean, they will. We're not there. They will be the kind of the core and the nucleus, and I think that's better defined. I think that's why we have more hope, frankly.
Rick, I am always careful not to talk out of school and share things that you and I talk about privately, but I'm sure you can talk about this, that I've never seen a change in a player the way I've seen in Jordan Walker.
Yeah.
And you've talked about with me privately that it's not just grounders and pop flies and fastballs. He's changed as a person.
He has become a man. Not that he wasn't a man before, but I mean, he really is settled in who he is. And there's a psychology of that. There's a confidence of that. There's a presence of that. I mean, when he walks in the room, you know, he's not a real chatty guy. He's not kind of overly. He's not a tough guy. But he looks like he could beat you up. I mean, but he's not that personality at all. And yet, I think he's starting to develop this feel for how do I compete and how do I get all that out every single day and how do I prep? And look, the guy has made great strides. He deserves all the credit. Coaches have helped him, yes. But, you know, Jordan's the one doing it. And I'm just so happy for him based on where he was. I almost felt like he was at a point where he was defeated. And here's a guy that's the number one pick and all the talent in the world. Yeah. But he was just so frustrated by his inability to do what he had done so naturally. But that ability is coming out again for sure.
How about that throw yesterday?
Oh my goodness! Yeah,
man.
He's got a great. So I don't even remember him having for his rookie year. Apparently, he had 8 outfield assists, or maybe it was more than that. And I don't kind of remember him having a big arm that he was showing off. But man, does he have one now? His speed's better on the bases. He's aggressive. He's stealing bases. He's probably going to lead the Cardinals in stolen bases. By the way, I think that's going to happen. And so he's really a complete player. By the way, the Cardinals, I don't know if you guys have heard this, they just announced that Max Rajic is going to be up here. I just got the note officially on that from the Cardinals, and I'm excited to see Max and see what he can do to help the Cardinals pen.
Yeah, for anybody that missed it, Chris Roycroft was designated for assignment, so he could still clear waivers. He could be traded. It's to be determined what his future is, but Rajic is here, and I find him to be interesting, Ricky. Didn't have much success as a starter once he got past A-ball, and he's been moved to the bullpen. And this is his first year as a reliever, and he's been awesome for Memphis. I mean, we're talking strikeouts, only 31 hits allowed in 40 innings. You know, we're talking about a guy who's, by the way, also working multiple innings, which I think is a major factor coming into this bullpen with the Cardinals.
Yeah, he's basically a starter that's become a reliever, and he's taken those innings along with him, and he's got the durability. When I heard about Max Rajic, I heard from Jason Isringhouse, and he said, "I love this guy, Max Rajic. You're going to love this dude because he competes." And this was like A-ball, double-A guy. He said, "This guy's got that extra little fire in him that I just love." And I was on a caravan with Max, and he also, not only does he have that fire, but confidence, great humor, just a fun guy, good teammate. I'm sure that Cardinal fans are going to love Max Rajic.
It's just this. I think this what I'm going to say, Ricky, ties into, in addition to what you said, why there's more positivity, and it's the team has been a little more proactive, and I think some of it is that there are more options to go to, and then you can just see that even though the team is good, there are still a lot of these guys that have more in them. They can be better than they've been versus, okay, they're on the downside. This is the best they're going to be.
So I think what we were all worried about, or a lot of Cardinal fans, I would say, were worried that, okay, we've got this long-term deal, so we're just going to throw these guys out there, and we're going to be stuck in, and we're not going to make any changes and just see what happens. Well, it's more malleable than that. I mean, it and I think Haim has shown that he does react when, okay, the bullpen needs help. Let's go get a solution. Now, they're internal solutions, which means your minor league system is a little bit better than it was. But think about some of those guys that have been fortifying that minor league system that we got for Sonny Gray and Contreras and Matz. You know, you don't have Blaze Jordan if you still have Steven Matz, right? So you make that deal. You have a guy just in case. Nolan Gorman is struggling, and he was struggling, and maybe he won't in the future. But then Blaze Jordan comes up and fills in because you had him there. So I just think people are starting to see how that development thing works, and that development is not just the big leagues. It is the big leagues, but it's also the minor leagues, big leagues combined.
Man, it's been an impressive thing, and I know I saw the manager was talking about this. Ollie was talking about the lineup, and I believe it was on Gas House Gang, but I think he did it post-game as well, and how much different it looks. Because he was saying, and actually it was on Gas House, because he was saying how not long before they called up Blaze Jordan, he wasn't sure that Blaze was going to be an option at third, right? And
yes,
I think this is the same idea for the front office, too. They weren't sure. But they saw some things. They realized you got to a point where you had to do something, and here's a guy that's got a bat. You look at the bottom of the order now compared to a few weeks ago when it was really light. I mean, you've got a good hitter in the 6, 7, 8, and even 9 spots now. I mean, even Nathan Church batting 9th is a good hitter.
Yeah, so Church is, and he's got good speed, and he does. He brings good base running to the mix, and then you've got a bench that's better too.
Yeah, I mean, Velasquez has been really good.
Velasquez is scary and a scary at bat, and not scary personally. He's a really nice guy, but he's scary with the bat in his hand. And Fermin's a quality hitter as well. Yeah. I mean, you've just got more options, and you've also got a guy that just hit 4 home runs in AAA. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be here anytime soon, but again, you're building something that might. Just feels like it's going to be more of a long haul thing that's going to be successful.
You know, I'm not saying he's Jose Aquindo or Brendan Donovan. I've always liked Fermin.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know if you've ever had a chance to meet him, Dave, but no. If you met him, you would like him 10 times more. I mean, he is one of the he's a kind, friendly, just wonderful guy that everybody loves him. He's never, I call him Señor Sonrisa, which is Mr. Smile, because he's always, I think that's what it is. I hope I'm not calling him something bad. But
whatever,
he's still smiling. Even if I said that, he'd still smile at me. So the guy has got really good bat to ball skills. He's a really good hitter. He's learned to be a good defender at multiple positions. He's not, doesn't have a great arm. The whole world knows that. He's not a big power guy, but he's just a tough at bat, and you need guys like that, and you also need guys that are good teammates, and he's that.
All right, buddy, have a great time at KC.
All right, guys, thanks.
Welcome back, DGS. Don't take this dirty. Do you know how people are susceptible to yawns? I guess we're all kind of susceptible to this, but there are people out there who have such a gag reflex that if you fake gag in front of them, they like lose their stuff.
Yeah, they're all over TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah, people like to like prank their friends
trigger
that
them.
Do that. Yeah, yeah. And then record it and put it on the internet.
You seem salty.
Not at all. I have none of those reflexes, but it's like
it
just feels like a mean thing to do to your friend, right?
Yeah, it does seem very mean.
Cuz everybody hates the feeling of throwing up or about to throw up. Mm-hmm. And you're making someone feel that. That's not cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I like pranks, but I don't like that one.
Yeah.
Maybe go fart by him or something. That's a prank.
I'm with you. Maybe go fart. I just did a wheeler. I didn't hear what he said at all. I'm like, I'm
right
with you.
I was like, I can't believe Rach was the only one that
made
him brother.
I endorse this.
Dave was like nodding and signing off, and Rach was like, nope.
So I get mistaken for lots of celebrities who have cantaloupe heads like me. And today we're at a food truck event right by the office, me and Rach and Andrew. And while I was buying burgers, a lady walked up and told Rach, man, I thought your friend was Howie Mandel.
Yeah. Well, she goes, you know who he favors, right? You know who he looks just like. And I almost said Michael Chiklis because that's what they told. That's who they thought
Disney.
You were at Disney.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. She's like, Howie Mandel. I said, I guess I see it. With those sunglasses? Sure.
And then she added to them and to me, because then she told me, and she touched her face and she goes, you're a little thicker in the face.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody loves to hear that, right?
Yeah. You look like Marilyn Monroe. I mean, you're fat, but I mean, you're like a fat Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah. Well, at least you don't get compared to Ronald McDonald and Richie Cunningham.
Aww.
Ronald McDonald.
I'm kidding. I've never gotten that one. I get the jokes about Carrot Top, but that doesn't work because I don't have long hair.
Right.
It's definitely more the Richie Cunningham, Ralph Malph kind of stuff.
Did you get made fun of for being a ginger as a kid?
Not much. Occasionally. But never in a way where it was like I really bothered me because of whatever.
Do you remember that kid on the internet who was like, gingers have souls?
Yeah, yeah.
Vic says,
poor kid clearly got picked on.
Vic says, Dave, just don't wear Andrew's Charlie Brown shirt. Shut up, Vic. I'm tired of Vic.
Because
I guess he thinks I look like Charlie Brown because I'm bald.
Oh, okay. I get it now.
We'll do like a little squiggle.
I don't clock how discriminatory towards bald people are.
Well, yeah, because you really don't look like Howie Mandel.
With the glasses, I get a glance, but I don't see it. I would never have come up with that comp on my own.
But if you have the same face as Howie Mandel, but a full head of hair, nobody's saying it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.